You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast. And for this episode, really excited to have band Spoonbenders out of the Portland scene. And we actually have the whole band, AJ Harold. Hey, AJ, just wanted to welcome you to the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast.
Hi, Ken. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Katie Black, guitar, vocals. Katie, nice
hey.
To welcome you.
How's it going? Good to be here.
Good, good. Buffy Pastor, guitars. Very nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for having us.
And Velvet on bass and filling out the band Spoonbenders. Thank you so much for coming onto the program.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to connect to your music. I love your sound. I've enjoyed your newer video for Nation. But before I start stumbling over myself and talking about your music, why don't you, the members of Spoonbenders, tell us how you came about, what your musical style, what you're looking to do, and where's Portland music going to be when things open up here? So who are Spoonbenders?
Oh my gosh, really good questions right off the bat. So Spoonbenders started with Katie and myself, so Katie and AJ a couple of years ago. In Portland. I had just moved here in 2017 from Southern California, like a lot of, transports do. And I was looking to find some like-minded people to play music. And pretty much anybody I met that said I play an instrument, I asked if they wanted to play music with me. And Katie was one of those people. And we got off to a pretty slow start because we both had a very busy schedule. Katie was just finishing school at Portland State University at that time. But when we did get together, I feel like this idea of what we wanted to do and this sort of road and path was really aligned between what I was interested in and what Katie was interested in. And things came together so quickly for us. And then, Katie, do you want to tell about meeting Buffy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So AJ and I had at that point had been jamming in, like, her garage and really, like, into the early stages of writing and jamming, getting to know each other. And I went up to Olympia to see a house show with a band that I was friends with, and Buffy was actually throwing the show, and I had never seen her band before. And I kind of just saw her and kind of like how it went down with meeting AJ and meeting Buffy and Velvet. It was kind of just like right off the bat, I kind of knew that we were pretty compatible, and like I got really excited about them and like really inspired and really just like, you're the shit. I really want to like have you in my life. And then, kind of approached Buffy and asked her, you know, if she wanted to be in a band at any point with me, or like if she was trying to join a project. And I knew she was in Olympia, and she was like, yeah, actually I'm moving to Portland like next week. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Really, throwing the show as a going away show because I was moving out of Olympia and heading to Portland, and just serendipitously
Katie
came up to me out of all the people at the show, and I was moving there. And then a few weeks later we connected, and she was like, yeah, do you want to join the band? Like, we have a show tonight. And I was like, sure, because my intention of moving to Portland was just to like seek bigger territory of like serious musicians than what I had found in Olympia, and Spoonbenders was like the ticket into that.
Yeah, it happened really naturally and
very homegrown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was kind of just like a, I don't know. I think it was because it's my first experience being in a band slash like having a band, where I was just stoked to even play in a practice space, and stoked to just be making noise for the first time and writing songs for the first time, that I think I just was like going with whatever gut feeling I had. And I am just super stoked about how it worked out, because it was just, I was super insanely lucky, I feel like, to meet everybody so naturally.
I appreciate that background and hearing how it came, you know, how the band came together. One of the things I was wondering, as far as when you talk about the band coming together and obviously what's been going on, like politically and the pandemic over the last year, I've been wondering about any sort of musical collaborations and making art and doing this podcast. For the band, and this is for you as a whole, you know, as a whole, any of you could answer it. Did you feel like there was like some sort of momentum that you felt you had going, you know, prior to the pandemic? Did you feel like any point you're like, I don't know what we're supposed to do with this project? Should we be making music? It's really a general question about what's the role of, you know, the art and music you've been trying to do in a pandemic? What's been going on?
To go back to one of your questions inside that statement of, you know, where were you guys before the pandemic hit and everyone shut down here in the States? We were on a rocket-like trajectory. We were moving so fast. We were playing shows every week, sometimes anywhere between 1 to 4 shows a week. It was so crazy so much fun. We did play 4 shows that week.
Oh, I forgot about that month. Oh my god, that was actually
We would play like 6 to 8 shows a month.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about that.
We were making all of the art for our shows and making all of our merchandise and just the whole like fun DIY project. And we planned our first West Coast tour basing around a festival in Joshua Tree that was going to happen last year, March 28th. And then just about this time last year, we started to get the news that other countries were starting to shut down, and the questions were kind of coming into our head, like, are we going to have to cancel this tour? This is everything we've been working for, is to get out and to start playing on the road and build a wider audience, and obviously have the traveling experience under our belt as well. So it was, you know, devastating isn't really the most proper or emotionally fit word to describe what we felt when the shutdown happened, but we were truly devastated. We felt like the rug just got pulled out from under our feet, and I think the band kind of went into a bit of a depression at that point. We all needed to take a pause. Obviously, we're all working really hard in our day jobs and you know, at night playing at the bars, and got this news that everything's shutting down. We don't know for how long. And now here we are almost 1 year later, completely recreating and reimagining how to be a band and how to play music in this climate, which has been fascinating and slow moving process for us, but still we've been able to pick up projects. Like you mentioned before, we just released a video. We've been able to safely go into our, you know, quote unquote studio, which is Velvet's garage, and record some tracks with our, you know, pod mate engineer, and still been able to fashion art, even though it's so different than before. You know, it's really, we had to change what our focus was and rearrange and put our energy into different projects, basically.
And on the flip side of that, like, kind of as like a light, at least for me, I really like realized how much I appreciate music through this pandemic and how it definitely has given me like something to really focus on and be excited about when it seems like there's not a whole lot going on. Oh, so it's super hard just because we want to do so much, but it's also really like, it's giving us something to like look forward to and to work hard for, which I wouldn't have anything else if I didn't have this band. So.
That's so true. Mondays and Wednesdays, the days that we go into the studio to play together. And those are like our just our saving grace days of like, oh, thank God I get to come in here 2 days a week and play music with you guys.
It's like the closest like days that feel like before the pandemic is like going into practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no,
it's
yeah.
Like just before, except.
Well, it's glad. I'm glad to hear. I mean, it sounds for me as far as, you know, the practice and your ability to come together and some like aspects of just like together and community. Like I need the routine, right? That's been part of it. Like I need the routine and know this is going to happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then being able to find other ways to communicate with community, like podcasts, you know, like if this is the way that it needs to be done safely, then I can get into that because this, you know, is something that fills my soul as an artist to be able to reach out. And I think that the ability to communicate, connect, coordinate, and share something is such a huge element to producing art. It doesn't have to be that way, but it feels really good for me when it is that way.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I want to do, and I have to say, like, just to mention here, we're going to cut over to one of your tracks, Nation, that I mentioned that you put the video out for. So as I start to talk about music on the podcast with listeners and stuff, I always like us take a little bit of break and let's listen to the sound. So we'll do that in a tiny bit, but I really appreciate your comments as far as with what was happening prior to pandemic and the trajectory. And I saw some things, you know, with your band. I wasn't listening to material back then, but just looking back and just wondering on that question. And I think it's kind of like an intimate and great thing to hear how you've kept things together, that you went through the process of being like, oh shit, you know, like what do we do now, and it kept things going. I'm gonna play if you don't mind Nation. We'll get to listen to it. Listeners will get to listen to it. Is there anything anybody in Spoonbenders wanted to mention prior to cutting to the track?
Wanted to mention what?
Oh, just sorry. About the track and
okay.
Well, yeah. Like anything in the universe, your first attempt at why there's something rather than nothing. Mm. No. Anything about
not I
well first of all, I love the track. I love the video. I heard and saw like video movement that looked like Art of Noise. I heard some of that doom sound. I heard mm-hmm. some Dead Kennedy. I love the track, but that's me. What were you trying to do with Nation? Yeah. Why don't you tell the listeners about it?
Yeah, I really love Nation. It's most of my songs that so far, like I think like as far lyrically, like I kind of think of my songs lyrically because I write the lyrics first most of the time. But Nation was kind of the first song that didn't have like background significance to like an experience, personal experience necessarily. It was kind of like a general song speaking about how divided we are as like a nation, and like how insanely like stunted conversations can be as far as like being able to connect with others and like kind of like share your views and change people's minds, and how I think there's a lot of separation going on in especially like westernized cultures right now, and Nation was kind of just like a really cool song that I decided to write lyrically based on that, but then just like the music kind of came forward because I just wanted to write a spy song, if I'm gonna be really honest. It was like, I want to write a song that's just like the background to a spy movie, and I want it to be fun, and I want to like kind of just have something that is high energy that'll be really fun to play live. And it's kind of just like one of the less like heavy weighted significant songs to me, which makes it a little bit more fun and lightweight to play, if that makes any sense. Hopefully that rings true to the track. But yeah, I'm this song was a special one to me. I think it was definitely written collaboratively as well.
Wonderful. We're going to chat some more about Nation. Spoonbender is going to play that right now. Nation. love that song so much.
Thank you for playing our music.
Yeah. rock and roll. On playing the music bit. One of the things that the podcast is doing, I'm not sure if you all know, is trying to create some space on the podcast. In a few episodes, we're going to have a live version, alternate take. My producer, Peter Bauer, who edits and produces the show, is also going to do a couple remixes for bands. But we got some good music, including, well, of course, Spoonbenders, but Buell Thomas from the Bronx, who's well-bred mongrels. He's doing a cover of The Cars and a cover of New Order. Gina Gleason, the guitarist for Baroness, is going to submit some material. Ghost Frog from Portland. Dirty Princess, Portland. Death Parade, Portland. Alicia Angel from New York City. But love the music. We're bringing it all together on that show, and I'm so excited to connect with you, Spoonbenders, and that incredible track. It's great to hear and be playing new music, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, it's, we haven't played those songs live in a really long time, but we still play our old set while we're working on our new stuff. And it's just like, I think especially with everybody else's music, like all the other amazing bands that have been putting stuff out right now, it's just like, I think there's just going to be so much of a bigger appreciation for shows, live music, recorded music, artists in general. I think there's going to be a renaissance resurgence of appreciation from that, like in that realm. I'm just really hopeful for the future of music, to be honest.
Yeah. I am too. I appreciate your comments. I wanted to ask all of you, and it's a challenging question, but I'd really be interested to hear your thoughts on this. And this is kind of like my personal take on music coming out of this. And I want to talk about punk. Like for me, punk feels, being around punk, feels like, it feels like connected to the street, right? And the culture and like what's going on as people interact with each other. And in a period of like isolation, like there isn't as much as the club scene or not seeing live music. I've been wondering in my head, what does punk sound like when it's going its own way, it goes into a pandemic and then it comes back out? What the hell is punk going to sound like?
You know, I think punk is such like an attitude more than you can put it to like a certain sound. And it's like a system of beliefs and more like a way of expression, it rather it be like emotional or political or anything like that. And I believe because this is like such a charged time for politics, I couldn't really say like what the sound is going to be, but I think there's going to be a pretty big resurgence in punk music because people are, I mean, they're angry and it's a way to express your anger, but do it artfully and in a way that, you know, is helpful rather than harmful. So not really saying much to the music, but I think the attitude is gonna be huge.
Yeah. And the attitude. Yeah, I'm interested to hear how it sounds. I know with the attitude around it, I mean, I've talked to folks who are in the punk scene, and punk is always feels political to me. I think it cuts both ways because punk has been taken on by kind of like, you know, neo-Nazi and right, but there's also a strong liberationist movement that's around punk, but it tends to pop up in the political discussion, which goes back to comments before we went to the track about in a nation, you know, trying to have conversations, trying to have a common space to be able to discuss difference. Do you think music is going to have to take that role? Because there aren't many places for us Americans to meet out our differences, right? Do you think music has any role of kind of letting out some of that energy or provoking discussion or punk?
Yeah, I think that art as a collective has kind of been something that can bring people together always. I think it's just kind of proven that over the years that people from insanely polarized backgrounds can appreciate the same piece of art, even if the artist has completely opposing views from theirs. And it has somewhat objectivity to it because people people absorb art in such a personal way. And I think it's for everyone, whether or not you want it to be for everyone. I think that I don't know if it's going to bring people together to have like constructive conversations. I can only kind of speak for myself and how I kind of ingest art and how I create art. It's 100% the way that I process and the way that I heal from things and blow off steam or ask questions. And I think that hopefully that'll kind of like ring true for everybody absorbing my art, but I don't know how they usually take it wrong, but in a way that I appreciate, in a way that makes me learn from my own art and see different dynamics from the things that I create. I also just think that with nation specifically, when I was writing, it came from the word nation, which is a word that I see all the time. It's a word that like comes up in the media a lot or if in books that I read. But nationalism is like a really weird, it's a really weird concept to me. Having a nation and having something that you feel like there is a, you and then other based on where you are geographically, that's why that song was created, because I was having a moment of just like, what the why? Like, that's such a weird concept. Like, you know, just going into like how bizarre humans are and how much harm goes from these bizarre concepts that we can't, it's a created concept. So, yeah.
It is. I do struggle with that one myself as a concept. So I definitely hear that and share that with it, just a struggle with identity, you know. And I think part of the problem is that nation ends up being so militarized or mm-hmm. weaponized as a statement that whenever sometimes somebody brings up nation, it seems like a battering ram. But hey, got big philosophical question, and I got one for each of you. It's the same question. So AJ, Katie, Buffy, and Velvet. All right, you're all artists. I like your work. I like your music. And I know some of you do other forms of art. What is art? Let's start with AJ.
Sure. So I have kind of a cheap and quick answer for that. But it's something that I've kind of been mulling over for the past decade or so, and I can't remember where I heard it, but it's stuck with me. So for me, I always have defined that art is something that will evoke an emotion. So that obviously gives you a wide range of anything, you know, because you see all sorts of weird funky stuff. Like for me, like a weird funky thing that I would see in a museum maybe is like a toilet is now a piece of art. Okay, well, does that evoke an emotion for me when I see that? Like, yeah, it makes me angry that there's a sculpture of a toilet in a museum when maybe, you know, like a Frida Kahlo could be there instead. But then that also goes to one of my favorite books, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, where the author's talking about quality, right? And he's like, what is quality? Is it subjective? Is it objective? We just created what quality is. I think quality is as real as gravity or time. Like it's a concept, you know? So for me, I kind of like to just take a few steps back and say, okay, art is something that is bringing up an emotional experience for me. And so yes, it can be the sunset. Yes, it can be the toilet. You know, yes, it could be something that really upsets me or makes me feel like, you know, my stomach is turning. I think that, you know, there's a lot of power in that. And I like that we as a band, you know, I try to implement that when we are writing songs, is like, especially with dynamics and with different textures, like, okay, I don't want to be manipulative here, but we can manipulate the emotional feeling in a room by how we play our songs. And so let's think about that and try to implement those settings into how we write.
Yeah, that wasn't a quick and like that was yeah that the fantastic hand. That wasn't off the cuff. No, I love the emotional content of art, and I think that your examples certainly, you know, evoke the emotion. What about others? You're looking at each other now. I can feel it back behind the microphone. But who's next? What is art? Members of Spoonbenders.
I think art to me is, it's definitely something that evokes emotion, but it's definitely more of like a processing of emotions for me, processing of thoughts and events and experiences. In a way that it actually just like lets me feel less on a daily basis, if that makes any sense. Like I walk out of a practice or I walk out of a show a little bit lighter every single time. And it's a way of communication, I think, for me. I really, I'm kind of not the most social person, and I definitely have like, I was brought up kind of like as a loner kid. And it is such a way of like, I'm so used to communicating through writing. I'm so used to communicating through reading books. And it's a comfortable and natural way, vessel kind of like way of me to be able to communicate something that I'm feeling without needing to like articulate it as specifically as verbalizing or writing things down. It is a lot more immersive and it's a lot easier for me. And so I think that's what it is to me. And to the world, I do think it's definitely like definitely what AJ said, but it's to me, I see it as a form of communicating more than anything else, kind of, I think.
Yeah.
Help.
No. No, thank you. And I apologize to all other podcast guests who have not been in a band, because Spoonbenders get four cracks at this. Who's next? What is art?
So I went to art school for a while, so I've done a lot of like thinking over on this question, you know, just like what is art versus like what is craft and that kind of stuff. And I haven't really come up with a really like concise answer yet, because a lot of times I just want to be like, oh, it's a way of expression or way of getting my emotions out. But sometimes I just write like a sick lick and I do it because I love the action of it, and I don't really have any like emotion that I'm putting into it, more as it's just something that I love to do. And also, I think that there's a certain level, at least in like modern day art and music, like a certain level of narcissism where we do it because, at least for me in a way, because I like to be able to show people what I can do and what I can put out there. Whereas I do have my like very emotional art. It's also just something that I love to share with others and I love to show. So for me, I would kind of boil it down to saying like, it is a way to connect to people and it is really emotional. But I don't think you can put one certain label on it because everyone does it for a certain reason. That's kind of my really little answer to a really huge question.
I've been thinking about it for a while. Who did we miss? Buffy?
So
Buffy.
Art for me is like, so being someone with ADHD, it's like the perfect form for let my imagination run wild. Even just like seeing a piece of art, and having something in physical form just like puts my mind at ease. And art is kind of like a destructive thing too. It's like destruction of just the dullness of society's barriers put onto this canvas of colors or of sound. And I think the reason why I do it is just so I can like get all these ideas out onto paper or onto recording and decide whether I want to show people what I made or not. I don't have really any ulterior motive of making art. I just happen to, you know, be in a band and have my art be shared with other people.
Yeah, it's that just that connection with it. The question, just to share with you, I went to school at the University of Rhode Island. I had a very influential philosophy professor who did a philosophy of art class, and I was not in art school and had not practiced art as I understood it. But the question was asked quite a long time when I did that work, and I've actually had a couple guests who are artists from that college class come onto the show with the same question we were dealing with in the class. So it's as a matter of fact, one of the individuals that I mentioned was from the Bronx, Buell Thomas. He was in that class, and today he sent me a couple of the covers to get some music into the episode that I mentioned. But it's just so, and I'm talking, this is like 25 years ago. It's such a nice connection on the show, and also to hear your answers around, you know, each artist is going to say, you know, why is it that I'm doing this? You know, particularly that's happened during the pandemic. One of the name of the show, Something Rather Than Nothing, and I do have the big question: why is there something rather than nothing? And who wants to take a crack at that one?
I think nothing is something of its own.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then I think there's kind of the a basic and like rudimentary understanding of, you know, we're human beings and we have you know, a prefrontal cortex, and we're, you know, such smart creatures, and we categorize things, and just, you know, socially that helps us understand one thing or another. So that's such a basic, like, that's why there are some things in this room, whether it's a, you know, bed or a desk or whatever, it helps to be able to linguistically discuss what's going on. But I don't know, does any of that mean anything to me? Not really. Like, I truly believe in impermanence, and so for a lot of the things, like the bed and this desk in front of me, they're not going to be here forever. Does that mean that it still holds value in certain aspects? You know, like for me, like they're just, it's just a bunch of atoms, basically, just like you and me are.
It's like a duality thing. It's like yin and yang, just like something and then nothing.
I think humans have such like a natural desire to have like a purpose too, that so much of like our lives for a lot of people is searching for that purpose, which could even be just like creating so that they can leave a mark. And so I think we see that like throughout history, especially in art, that people are leaving something so that they have this purpose and so that they won't be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think on that last point, that's a lot of what we see with artists struggle with, right? Is like a certain sense of like a struggle against non-existence or nothingness by saying, you know, I made this song. Like, here's this book. It's still on a shelf somewhere. It's just that way of kind of trying to show that you did something almost.
Absolutely.
And that could be a glorious thing. It's I'm not trying to make it sound trite, but I mean, it's just, it feels kind of glorious in being able to do that. Spoonbenders, I want to be able to, I was wondering if you could talk, you know, as a whole a little bit more to connect the listeners to, you know, like your band camp or whether some it's your individual, you know, pages or like how to, you know, download the music, what to look for as the world, you know, opens up a little bit more for music. So how do folks connect with you as individual artists or Spoonbenders as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that you should do if you want to is listen to our album, Dura Mater. It came out last year. Yeah, that's kind of how I want people to connect with us. I want people to listen to what we make and how we create. And if you want to know when we're creating more, when we're doing more things, you can go up on our Instagram account and kind of see when we're releasing. We just recorded 3 new tracks that we're going to be releasing individually. once we're done mixing and mastering, and you'll know when that goes out if you go on our Bandcamp, and you can follow us on Bandcamp. We love Bandcamp. And yeah, and we're, to be honest, like, I'm kind of looking for different ways to connect with people beyond Instagram and beyond like summing up these like super holistic people into, you know, photos and stuff like that. So I'm gonna try to think of maybe more like a podcast, maybe like maybe more ways to let us kind of connect with viewers in a really authentic way, hopefully in the future. But yeah, for right now, that's what I got for y'all. Sorry.
No, that's great. I want to obviously enjoy your work, and I enjoy, you know, it just being more recently introduced to you, your work as individual artists, AJ Harold, Katie Black, Buffy Pastor, and Velvet on in Spoonbenders. Really love your music, and I love you considered discussion around, you know, philosophical topics and thinking about what artists are doing. But importantly and excited with, like I said, building in the performance components of these Something Rather Than Nothing episodes. And for our music performers, I'm really excited to that we'll, you know, be able to get over the next few weeks some of your material out and kind of like a little bit of a variety format for folks to listen to with other artists. So I'm excited to have this kind of continuing thread, and thank you all so much for spending time on the show. I really appreciate it. I hope you had a nice time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken, for sure.
Yeah, Spoonbenders, it's been great to encounter your material and your art. And I'm sure we're going to talk again soon. Thank you so much for your time. And everybody, check out Spoonbenders. Some great, great music. Let's get back into music. Let's get back into making things and talking about our humanness, right? Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Have a great night.
This is Something Rather Than Nothing.